It is a blessing to see you all today. It is a blessing to see all of you who are mothers who have decided to set the example and be at worship with your family, for your family. And so on behalf of all the mothers who are here and those of us who have mothers, have been blessed with great mothers, let me say Happy Mother's Day. It is a great blessing to know that we have mothers, especially those of us who have mothers that are Christians, that have raised us up to know Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. I think it's very fitting today that it be Mother's Day and we announce to our congregation about a mom-to-be. In our number today, we have a family that they are expecting a baby. And I am very happy to announce to you, as you're thinking and wondering who it is. I'm not looking at you, Chris. I'm just letting you think. Tim and Kristen Hatcher. Yeah, everybody's like, woo, look at there. Also, congratulations, Tim and Kristen. Also, Tucker and Harrison, congratulations. And Mike and Nana, congratulations to y'all as well. What a blessing. Look at Tucker. He's like, yeah. Tucker, if it's a little girl now, you really got to hit those weights hard, man. All right, buddy. But no, what a great blessing it is. And so congratulations. She scares me and stresses me at the same time. Not Kristen, Siri. So, anyhow, thank you for honoring them, and so congratulations to them. We are talking about, today, our mothers. We are talking about and challenging us to look at the importance of great mothers. But we're also doing this from a standpoint that Jesus Christ loved His mother. So as today, as we've been read to from John 19, and even in 10,000 Angels, there is a lyric in it that talks about, behold your mother. Today, it's about Jesus. Today, it's about elevating our mothers, elevating all of us in what we can learn from the way Jesus loved His mother. I think it's no secret that we all know that the cross is this most significant event to ever occur. Jesus going to the cross at Calvary is the most significant, critical event that's ever happened throughout history. There have been a lot of great things that have happened in history, but none greater than the cross. It taught us many lessons and teaches us many lessons. It teaches us the importance of sacrifice. George mentioned Hebrews, and it's so fitting to continue talking about that the Hebrew writer was trying to explain to the Hebrews, who were Christians that had slipped back into Judaism, that he was trying to remind them that we have a greater covenant. We have a covenant that does not require our sacrifice, but it did require sacrifice. And of course, that was the sacrifice, as George read to us, of the Lamb of God. The cross also reminds us that Jesus, as He went there, even though He prayed for a better way, He prayed for the cup to pass through Him, but it was ultimately fulfilling of God's will. And that's why Jesus did it. He was willing to do what His Father commanded. It reminds us, the cross does, that we can overcome Satan. You see, Jesus went into a grave dead. Death comes from sin. Sin comes from Satan. Because Satan is the prince of this world, death would prove that he could kill God. But Jesus did not stay dead. We know He rose. He came up out of the grave. And it reminds us, too, that we can as well. The cross also reminds us that we are special because Christ died for you. Make it personal. He died for me. It's very personal. He thought of us. Our sins, even though they are many, they were washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, if we willingly seek Him and put Him first. But also it reminds us of love. we said oftentimes that it was not the spikes or the weakened body that kept Christ on the cross. It was love. Love for you, love for me, love for one another. But at the end of the day, to talk about what our lesson is about, Christ and the cross reminds us to remember our mothers. You see, I think that's very important. I think it's very important that Jesus, as He was dying, left us these words that John recorded in John 19. We'll back up and read one extra verse, 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. I think this is a beautiful verse that probably when we talk about the cross of Christ, we overlook just a little bit. But before Christ died, before He gave up the ghost, if you will, He made sure His mother was taken care of. What an example. What an example that Christ laid out for all of us. He looked at John, and He looked at His mother, and He told His mother, "This is now your son." And He told His friend John, "This is now your mother. Take care of her." And because of that, we're reminded the importance of remembering mom. Remembering our mothers. Jesus remembered His mother. You could imagine as those emotions and those thoughts and those memories are going through His head, He remembered the good times. You know there were a lot of good times coming up. We don't have everything about the life of Christ, obviously, but we have enough to be able to understand why we do what we do and the importance of why we do what we do. But there had to be a lot of times when they just laughed together. Maybe there were times when they would laugh at one another. There were happy times. There were good times. You know there had to be sweet moments. Just like with every mother and their child, there are sweet moments, there are tender moments. What about Jesus? You think He remembered there in that moment His mother's tender touch? How it made all His aches and pains and hurts go away? Or the love that only a mother can show? Jesus remembering that, "Hey, my mom did that for me." You see, Christ loved His mother, and He honored her. And you know He made her very proud. Today, we remember our mothers. Today, as we elevate our mothers, I want to challenge us all to not only remember and honor our mothers, but I also want us to do it with everyone. Shower them with love. You see, as I go back to love, and I think about what kept Christ on the cross, I think about love. Today is Mother's Day, and certainly I'll mention more about this in a moment, we'll say, "I love you," if we are blessed with our mothers still. I've seen posts that people put on Facebook, "Happy Mother's Day in heaven, Mom, I love you." Those type things are very important. Today is the day that you really feel the love. Well, that love should never fade. And so as I think about Christ on the cross and love keeping Him on the cross, and I think about the way He loved His mother, today I want to challenge us all with several points that I believe Christ illustrated for us, not only to our mothers, but to others as well. So on this Mother's Day, what can we do to honor our mothers? What can we do to bless the church? What can we do to bless God, to bless others around us, we can love. Well, how specifically then, Terry, can we love? Well, number one, we need to love verbally. Love verbally. I believe with everything in my being, even though it's not recorded in Scripture, that Jesus oftentimes told His mother, I love you. I just can't believe that there were years that went by that Jesus did not utter the words to His mother, I love you. I believe that's something that we have to do. Now hear me out on this. There are some overused expressions in this world. Overused. And I have heard it said before that the phrase, I love you, is overused. I've heard that. Well, I will say this. It is overused in certain instances. For instance, middle and high school relationships. Okay? That phrase is overused. If you have a boyfriend or girlfriend and you are telling them every day, I love you, well, let me tell you what. You can break up with that person and in a few days there'll be somebody else telling you, I love you. I believe we don't get it at that age fully. I'm not saying there aren't exceptions to the rules. But at the end of the day, maybe it is overused in those situations. But let me remind you of this. In a family situation, it's never overused. In a family situation, the words, I love you, are never overused. For instance, mamas need to hear their children today and every day that they can tell them, I love you. It just melts their hearts. It makes them feel good. Husbands and wives need to look at one another. We're talking about having fantastic families in our Sunday school class. And I encourage you that if you want to have a better family or you've got it all figured out, to come to our class. I'm not trying to take away from any other class, but if you're not in the habit of coming to Sunday school, then that's one thing you need to do for your family is to come. But our families, our mamas, our daddies, our husbands, our wives, they need to hear, I love you. We need to say it in front of our children, and we need to really mean it, because that is a great example to them. It is not overused in those relationships. Children need to know and hear we love them. It's very important. It's very important for us, even if we've got to get down on our knees, we've got to look them in the eyes, we've got to stop the million things that are going on, look them in the eyes and say, I love you. No matter what, I love you. Are there going to be times that they do things we don't like? Yes. Are there going to be times that we do things they don't like? Yes. But that love should never fade. And that phrase should never be overused. How about brothers in here? We have any brothers? I have two of them. We should have brothers look at each other and say, I love you. I love my brothers. It's a lot easier to say that at 43 to them than it was when I was at home with them, though. You know, I get it, all right? We have to mature in our love, too. But that's important for siblings to hear that, for sisters to hear that. Men, let's never be too macho to say, I love you. Ladies, let's never be too good or too quiet to say, I love you. You see, in John 15:12, Jesus said this, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Some of the sweetest words a mama can hear today are, I love you. Some of the sweetest words we can say to those we love, I love you. To the God we serve, I love you. We need to practice these words. But that's not all that Jesus taught us about loving mom, about loving others. I believe our love must be verbally, but I also believe Jesus reminds us that our love must be physical. We must love physically. While Jesus was giving His life on the cross, can you imagine Mary's heart? The most stressful thing, according to research, according to statistics, according to professionals, The most stressful thing a parent can have happen to them is to bury their child. It's number one on the list. Here's Mary. Here's Jesus. Even though He's taking care of her, even though He's saying these great things, He's making sure she's going to be provided for, she's looking up and her bloody son, and her heart is breaking. In that moment, as Jesus is saying to His mother, remembering her from the cross, and He's saying, John will take care of you, and John will provide for you. He will now be your son. You will now be his mother. Can't you imagine, as happy, as joyful as that is, that Mary longed for one more hug? They longed for one more kiss, one more touch from the other. You see, it's agonizing when we're unable to touch those that we love. I believe there are a lot of things that would have broken Mary's heart that day, but I believe not being able to physically touch her child was one of those that just agonizingly hurt her heart. Think about what a mother's love and touch can do. To begin with, God wraps us tight in the womb. God wraps us tight in our mother's womb. What happens when the child comes out of the womb? Well, the mother then holds that child tight. Moms cuddle us when we're afraid. Moms stroke our head, rub our feet. They've allowed us to hold their fingers when we walk. Mamas have encouraged us to give them kisses. Mamas have given us bear hugs. Mamas have changed our diapers. Mama has constantly touched us and helped us physically know that they're there and that they love us. Now, how does that make you feel to think back and feel and remember that about your mom? Well, it makes you feel special. But I want to remind you today that touch is important. Touch is critical. And that's why it's so important for us to physically love one another. We need touch. We need to physically love those that we love. I really believe that hugs and kisses mean more than flowers or candy or a nice meal. At the end of the day, I know that our society is driven by money. And by gifts and by goods. But some of the things that we have are very free to give. And we need to freely give them. We need to practice loving those we love physically. But we also need to practice loving God physically. Well, how do you do that, Terry? Well, you need to open your Bibles. Use your hands to open those words. We need to get on our knees and pray. We need to have an active, moving, loving relationship with Him. You see, Jesus touched so many. Have we allowed Him to touch us? So we need to love verbally. We need to love physically. What else do we do? We love patiently. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, we simply have these words, love is patient, love is kind. In John 2, 1 through 5, we have a scene where Jesus has patience with His mom. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it reads like this, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. Now, understand, Jesus understood this way better than His mother, I am sure. But when He said, my time has not yet come, when He performs this miracle, it's going to be 3 short years, and He's going to die the cross of Calvary. So I know all that's flooding His mind, but that's not flooding mom's mind right there, is it? What's flooding mom's mind is we have ran out of wine and we're going to be the laughing stock of Jerusalem. And so I need some help. And son, I know you can provide that help. So please help me. So Jesus was patient with his mother. He loved her patiently. Obviously, Jesus did what his mother asked him to do. But I'm sure there were times when Mary had to be patient with Jesus. Not that Jesus was a sinner, but Jesus was a child. He was a toddler. He was a baby. There had to be sleepless nights, hunger pains, sicknesses, fits, heartbreaks. Mothers show patient love. We've got to imitate that. I am so thankful that people have been so patient with me and loved me so patiently. You know, I've been able to grow up here, not only physically, but even spiritually. And that's required patience, and I appreciate that. My family appreciates that. We've got to return that favor. We've got to love others the way they've loved us, with patience, with physical love, with verbal love. Peter certainly needs those moments of loving patiently. Jesus, can you imagine the times he had to display patient love with Peter? Or what about Paul, the times he even messed up and persecuted the church? What about you? What about me? We need that patient love. But then there's another point that we learn from the cross of Christ. As we think about the relationship and the dynamics of Jesus remembering his mother, yes, there is verbal, there is physical, there's patient, but then we also must love attentively. There were seven sayings said by our Lord as he suffered on the cross. Seven sayings. And I believe each one has significant meaning. I believe there ought to be times when we just look at those seven sayings and meditate on the things that Jesus muttered from the cross. But in John 19, we'll read verses 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. As Jesus said those words, I would imagine there was no one listening more attentively to these words than his mother, Mary, was. Her son was being cruelly put to death. So what did she do? She tuned in. She listened. Mothers tend to do that, don't they? Mothers tend to listen far better than we fathers do. Mothers tend to listen far better than others do. You know, I've always been impressed with this thought process. We had a doctor, a pediatrician one time that has since retired, and we would go to the pediatrician and the child, one of our children or both of them would be having some type of unique sickness out there, and the doctor would always look at Michelle. He would never ask me, but he would look at Michelle and he'd say, "What do you think, Mom?" You know why he'd do that? Because he knows that mothers are tuned in way more than anyone else. You see, mothers know everything about their children. They know the scars. They know the birthmarks. They know everything. Because that's attentive love. A mother will listen as we pour our hearts out. Dad will say, "Just suck it up and get over it." Folks, we live in a fast-paced, attention deficit disorder kind of world. We've got cell phones, text messages, Facebook messages, Instagram, DMs, tweets, Snapchat, whatever those are. I could go on and on, right? We've got all these things going on. And all of these things slowly but surely distract us from tuning in and listening to those that we truly love. I would suggest to you that relationships of all kind would be better if we get rid of some of the distractions. If we look in each other's eyes, we'd build intimacy. We'd build communication. Put the devices away. Get rid of it. And again, that's not going to be popular. Today, if you go home, mamas, and tell your teenagers, hey, we're going to have some time where you don't get on your devices, it's probably not going to be happy Mother's Day right now. But we've got to do it. We've got to love attentively. We've got to look in each other's eyes. We've got to tune in. And let me tell you, I confess, that's really hard for me sometimes. Because I do. I know I said it in a joking way. We live in an ADD kind of society. But if you have that, you get it. You know, I'm always thinking about what I can say to fix it or how I can finish that person's sentence. And I really try to hush my mouth. And even as a counselor, they will tell you, sit there and listen. And sometimes I want to talk too much. And I even through my courses, I would want to interrupt. You know, I don't like awkward silence. But we've got to be attentive. We've got to listen. We've got to love. How would it feel if we poured our hearts out to God? If we went to God today and we just poured it all out to Him. God, I'm struggling with this. God, I need You for this. God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. And this and that. And God could reply to us and He said at the end of it, oh, were You talking to me? How would that make us feel? You see, there are people crying out all around us. Are we listening? Do we love them enough to listen attentively? One final point this morning. As I see Christ on the cross, crying down to His mother, one of those sayings, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. It reminds me that we need to love gratefully. Gratefully. There was an elementary science class. They had been studying magnets and how metal objects are attracted to them. At the end of the semester, the teacher put on an exam this question. Remember magnet, right? Six letters. Starts with M. Picks up things. What am I? Over the half the class wrote, mother. You see, mamas, not only today, need a sincere thank you. They need that from a genuinely thankful heart when she least expects it. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 6, Paul said these words to Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. Timothy's grandmother and his mother. Man, how grateful should we be? You know what they taught him? According to what Paul said, they taught him Christ. My mom taught me Christ. Michelle's mom taught her Christ. Maybe you have those same stories. It is our duty to be thankful for that. To be grateful for that. What else did Eunice and Lois teach Timothy? How to grow his faith. They taught him how to stay faithful. They taught him genuine love. You see, I'm sure Timothy was very grateful. We know Paul was. Jesus looked down from the cross and He saw His mother. His love for her was a grateful kind of love. Think about the hand that was dealt Mary. A teenager, most believe, who was not married and gets pregnant. And she's saying she's carrying the Son of God. Can you imagine what she had to go through? Joseph even had to be visited by an angel to say everything's going to be okay. But can you imagine all that? And where did Joseph end up? Did he die? We don't know. Did he leave? I don't know. But Mary had to step up. It appears, even here at the cross, that Joseph's no longer in the picture. Can you imagine what's going through Jesus' mind? As He's dying for all of mankind, His mom included, He's remembering how grateful He was to His mother. We reflect on things that so many have done for us. But how do we return that love? We've got to verbally say it, physically, attentively, gratefully. We've got to love. We've got to also be patient along the way. What has God done for us? He gave us Jesus. He's redeemed us. How are we showing that love? You see, mamas love their children. God loves His children. God is love. He loves us, and He told us that in His Word. He loves us, and He showed us that by giving His Son. He loves us, and He shows it with His incredible patience with our stubbornness. God loves you. God loves me. And He's willing to listen today. He's also willing to forgive today. What are we willing to do? When I said earlier, what if we poured it out and God said, oh, were you talking to me? We'll never have to worry about that. You come today. You make it right. God wipes it away and He remembers it no more. You come today. And you're baptized into Christ. The blood covers your sins, a multitude of them, and He remembers them no more. Today, all God's asking is for you to love Him back. We love our mothers. We must love God. Let's love Him back right now. Together, we stand and sing.